This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All right, bismillah. So question number one. One, you must always have the niyyah or intention for fasting before Fajr's waqt. True, false, or it depends? False? Okay. So the correct answer is it depends. Right? So you mark yourself. And let me explain this. So let me explain the issue here. Let's understand why it depends. There's a hadith that says, whoever does not have his niyyah, his intention to fast, before the adhan of Fajr, before the waqt of Fajr comes in, then his fasting is not accepted. We find another authentic hadith where the Prophet ﷺ woke up in the middle of the day, it's like 10 o'clock in the morning, he asked Aisha radiallahu anha, what is there to eat in the house? He said, Ya Rasulullah, we have nothing. Subhanallah, Nabi ﷺ had nothing in his house. So he said, no problem, I'm fasting. Don't feel bad, I'm fasting. So was his niyyah there to fast? Was his intention to fast? Before Fajr? No. So how do we reconcile these two? We've got two authentic narrations, and the answer is that for compulsory fasting, meaning Ramadan fasting, you must have your intention in place before the waqt of Fajr. You must be fasting already from the Fajr waqt. As for Sunnah fasting, you don't have to have your niyyah at Fajr. Obviously, you mustn't be eating. So you can't have a buffet lunch and then say, now I'd like to fast. If you maybe wake up tomorrow, 12 o'clock the afternoon, you realize, look, I haven't had breakfast yet. I haven't eaten yet. I might as well just fast the rest of the day. Alhamdulillah, this is accepted. Now let me give you some scenarios. Ramadan is tomorrow. Doctor Fakir doesn't get the memo because he doesn't listen to Voice of the Cape or 786. So he doesn't know it's Ramadan. His WhatsApp is off, he doesn't get his Ramadan Mubarak messages. So tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, I come to him and I say, MashaAllah, Mubarak, Ramadan Mubarak to you. And he says, SubhanAllah, I didn't know it was Ramadan today. Alhamdulillah, I didn't eat yet. Since Fajr, I haven't eaten. Is this fasting accepted or not? Was his niyyah there to fast today? No. So that is not going to count, you understand? He's not going to be punished. Obviously, he forgot. But that Ramadan, he has qada, he has to pay that day in. Because his niyyah was not there. Another example of where niyyah might... Give another example. Sheikh Yasin goes to the Taraweeh. And he doesn't stay the full program. So he misses the Nawaitu, Sawmaghadin. He didn't say that piece. He wakes up for suhoor. He eats suhoor. He prepares himself. He makes adhkar. I'm going to fast beautifully today. Adhan of Fajr goes off, he realizes, SubhanAllah, I never said my Nawaitu story. Is his fast accepted or not? Accepted. So we say niyyah is not the verbal, it's in the heart. Right. Another example of where niyyah can be, Muhammad is going on a journey, and we'll come to know a traveler has the option to fast or not fast. If during his journey, he hasn't eaten yet, during his journey, he says, I'll see how it goes. And he finds it's quite easy, and he fasts. He says, I'm going to continue fasting. Was his niyyah to fast, yes or no? No, he said, I'll see how it goes. Was he fasting? He said, I'll see. His niyyah wasn't there. So in these cases where your niyyah isn't firm before Fajr, for compulsory fasting, not acceptable. For sunnah fasting, you can. Yes? Sorry. I have great questions here. So the brother is asking, what if I want to fast a compulsory fasting with a sunnah fasting? So for example, the brother has qada. He hasn't completed all his 2016 fasting. So he's going to fast tomorrow. He says, I want to make my Ramadan fasting with my Monday fasting, sunnah fasting. Can I do it? Yes, you can. What evidence do we have it? Sahaba would lead salah with the Prophet ﷺ, and then there would be imams at other masjid leading the salah. So for them it's a sunnah, they already made asr. Understand the story here? He's made asr already. And now he's going to make a second asr, sunnah, and he led the salah as imam. So you can join two niyyahs, sunnah and fard.
Yeah. What if it's impossible to have an intention of conditioning on food? If I feel that tomorrow, I'm going to fast.
No, his niyyah is then not there. Whose niyyah, that's the whole point of niyyah. If I ask you, niyyah is, I'm asking you, are you going to fast? Yes. No. You intend. Your intention is there. So what were you doing from Fajr until Dhuhr? Fasting or not fasting? I don't know. Understand? You understand this issue of niyyah now? Yes? Yes. This is a finer issue of fiqh between the madaib. Why? Because the hadith says whoever fasts the 6 days of Shawwal, who completes Ramadan and then fasts the 6 days of Shawwal. Some scholars, and I believe the Shafi'i madhab, permits you to join the niyyah for both. Other madahib, like the Hanbali madhab, says no, you need to first complete Ramadan qada and then fast your 6 days of Shawwal. Either way, inshallah, my opinion is you can join the two. That's my personal view. So if you've got qada, so the lady obviously had a menses. After Ramadan, she still has 5 days to pay in. Does she have to fast 5 days and then 6 days? Or can she just join them in one niyyah? My view is you can join them in one niyyah, inshallah. Yes. You can do that. So the brother says, I'm making niyyah for the entire Ramadan, but a day where your niyyah is subject to change, like the day you are sick, or the day you are a traveler, where you have the option to break your fast, you need to renew that niyyah before Fajr. Understand? Okay. It's only question one. Alright, question number two. So we understand, rule, compulsory fasting, even qada, compulsory fasting, you must have the niyyah before Fajr. Okay? Sunnah fasting, you can decide during the day, so long as you haven't eaten before. Great. Depends is the answer. Yeah. Number two, which of the following is correct about Ramadan? Come on. Which of the following is incorrect? A is wrong. So what does this say? Allah describes in the Quran that from the day He created the heavens and the earth, 4 months He made sacred, holy, no fighting is allowed. Ramadan is not one of those 4 months. Those 4 months are Rajab, Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah and Muharram. The devils are chained up during Ramadan? True. But why do we still commit sin during Ramadan then? You get shayateen of jinn and devils of people. And shaitan, sometimes he's been so good at influencing us that he's already on autopilot. That even though he's gone, you're still on that same course. And this is the opportunity to get rid of those things. So if you still commit sin during Ramadan, all of us, if I still commit sin during Ramadan, know that those sins are not even being influenced by shaitan anymore. It's from myself. Okay? And it's about breaking those habits in Ramadan. The Quran was revealed in Ramadan? Yes. In fact, Ramadan is not the month of fasting. And believe it or not, it's not the month of some verses and sisters. It is the month of the Quran. What makes Ramadan holy is that the Quran was revealed in it. Makkah was conquered in Ramadan. The Battle of Badr occurred in Ramadan. Spain was conquered in Ramadan. Pakistan was conquered in Ramadan. So Ramadan is a great month of barakah, where things go right for people in Ramadan. The power of dua, the power of ibadah. So A is the correct answer. Okay? What is the name of the gate of Jannah preserved for those who fast? Rayyan. Okay, that's an easy one. Jannah has 8 gates. 8 doors, Jannah. One of it is just for fasting. For people who fast regularly, they will be allowed to enter through that gate. What's the biggest gate of Jannah? Meaning, the most people can enter Jannah through that gate. The easiest way to get to Jannah, your parents. Biggest gate of Jannah, your parents. Pleasing them, the easiest way to get to Jannah. Okay? Alright, what answer for this? Anyone? Four? Number four, what's the answer? A, B, C, or D? Of what? Which? What's the answer? A? All of them. So in Ramadan, you have 3 different ways of getting all your sins forgiven. The Prophet ﷺ mentions 3 ways in which all your sins can be forgiven. Number one, whoever fasts the month, and we'll all be fasting, but with iman, with belief, and hope for reward, meaning you not only stay away from haram, food and drink and shahwa, your desires, but also how you speak, how you interact. Avoid sin. Whoever does this perfectly during Ramadan, all his sins will be forgiven. If fasting is not your thing, you become an angry person, grumpy person during fasting, you know, if was a swa, then fine, you can move to B. B says that if you pray regularly during Ramadan with Iman and hope for reward, you make Salah regularly, all your sins will be forgiven. You say, that's also too difficult for me, I can't make Salah every night in Ramadan. Then you have option C. Whoever makes Salah, not the whole night, even just one rak'ah, true with sincerity and hope for reward of Allah, on the night of Laylatul Qadr, all your sins will be forgiven. Only trick is, you don't know when the Laylatul Qadr is. And that's why it's very important to ensure you make Salah every night, even if it's two rak'ahs. Because if you make every night Salah, two rak'ahs, you would have gotten Laylatul Qadr. Agreed? And if you made dua on that night, and you made salah on that night, and you got, and it coincides with Laylatul Qadr, the reward is unlimited. In fact, all your sins could be forgiven. So C, up on D. The answer is D, all of the above. Any questions? Yes? Yeah. Brother asked, what kind of salah? It doesn't say what kind, but it includes taraweeh, it includes tahajjud, obviously sunnah salah, additional, not only the fara'id. Anything above the normal, it could be witr, whatever it could be, make additional salah. Alright, so the additional salahs we have compulsory salahs in the evenings, obviously being Maghrib and Isha. Then we have the sunnah mu'akkada, or the sunnah rawatib, meaning the sunnahs we always make, the two rak'ahs after Maghrib, the two rak'ahs before Isha, those things are additional. Witr, very powerful. You have to make it every night almost. And then additional salahs you could make is Taraweeh salah. After Isha, there's this additional reciting. There's no limit. You could make 8 rak'ahs, 2 rak'ahs, a million rak'ahs, no problem. And then a very special kind of salah is called Tahajjud salah, which is during the last third of the night. The best time to make it is the last third of the night, an hour or two before Fajr, to get up and make additional salah. Again, rak'ahs are open to you, how many you want to. And dua, Allah says that the dua during this time is very powerful. In the Quran, Allah says that the dua of Fajr, meaning before Fajr, is mashhood, it's witnessed, meaning Allah like testifies by that dua. It's going to help you if you make tahajjud salah before Fajr. Okay? Then there are other kinds of salahs, meaning nawafil salahs, but the point is you make two rak'ahs, two twos. Two rak'ahs, assalamu alaikum, get up, another two rak'ahs, recite whatever is easiest to you, for you from the Quran. Okay, right? Ah, good. What invalidates your fasting? Does vomiting accidentally invalidate your fasting? No. If you deliberately cause yourself to vomit, it invalidates your fasting. Swearing, cursing, does not break. Agreed. What about murder during Ramadan? You kill someone during Ramadan. What do you think? It's haram, but doesn't break your fast. The ulama, very interestingly, some scholars have said, whatever sins you do during Ramadan does not break your fast, except riba, namiya, what you call fitna, skinner. Skinner breaks your fast. Why? Why would that break your fast? Yes, because Allah calls it eating the flesh of your... Well, this is a minority view, but it's a view. And I say, it's dhri. So speaking bad of people in Ramadan, dangerous. According to a good group of scholars, they actually said you have to make qada for that day. Interesting. It's very awkward for me because my grandmother is here. Having a wet dream during the day. Alright, so Muhammad Fakir goes to bed after Fajr. No, it's very... Someone goes to bed after Fajr. And he wakes up. Alhamdulillah, he had a dream of his Quru Ayn. And he has a problem. He has to ghusl. Does this invalidate your fast? Does he have to make... Look, he's not going to be punished, obviously. It wasn't his fault. But does he have to make up for that day of fasting? No. So, obviously, this was accidental. No issue. Similar question. Husband and wife were together with one another before... In the evening, obviously. Fajr time is about to come. They've got 5 minutes left. Do they ghusl or do they make... Or do they have suhoor? Suhoor. So, even though the waqt of Fajr comes in and they're both junub, is it fine? Yes. You don't need to be in the state of tahara while fasting. Okay? Eating forgetfully. If you eat and you didn't know you're fasting, so you're busy having Even if it's a Gatsby, a whole Gatsby. And then someone says, hey, aren't you fasting? Oh, I forgot. Is your fasting still accepted? Yes, it's still accepted. Beautiful hadith, the hadith actually says, if someone ate forgetfully, Allah meant for him to eat. That food was written for him. So Allah allowed him to eat. That's forgetfully, right? Obviously, he must have forgotten. If he knew, then obviously it's very expensive. What if you had suhoor, and you had something stuck in your teeth, and you know you're fasting, and then you swallow it? Does this break your fast or not? Yes, it does. Because you knew deliberately that I'm fasting, this is even if it's a small piece of food, it still breaks your fast. If it's accidental, then it's like the guy eating forgetfully. It's accidental, no problem. He didn't know he's got something in his teeth. Tasting food while fasting and not swallowing. So the auntie is making some buba. She doesn't know if there's enough sugar or whatever it is. Can she taste the food while fasting? Put it on her tongue. Yes or no? Yes, she can. Hadith allows us, so you can. But you must spit that food out. Yes? We'll probably say that's makruh, he shouldn't be doing that, but it's like wudu. Putting something, the rule is, putting something inside your mouth and not swallowing does not break your fast. Okay, so that's the rule. We won't say, so, and we'll talk about kissing, for example. It does not invalidate your fast, but it's very dangerous. You're playing with your fast now. It might be actually makruh in doing that. Chewing gum, obviously. No, you are swallowing. As you're chewing, that saliva, those particles of it is breaking off and it's going in your mouth. Right, so that's why the brother is saying, can it just be conditional? It's a hadith for specifically for someone cooking food to taste and spit out immediately. That's very different to chewing gum. I mean, we all agree on that. Still, it's not ideal for the whoever is making the food. Ideal not to taste the food. Dangerous. If something slips, you have kabbalah to pay. Brushing your teeth with toothpaste does not break your fast. So please brush your teeth during fasting. An intravenous drip, it breaks your fast. So that's nourishment, even though it's not going down the normal channels, but it's nourishing your body. You have a question? You look like you have a question. No. So that breaks your fast definitely. Cutting nails and hair? No. Some people have strange things that, you know, if you're fasting, you can't cut your hair or nails. This is only in ihram. They're confusing ihram with fasting. Swimming? You can swim. Doesn't break your fast. You can shower. Please shower while fasting. Okay. Hugging your wife? Kissing your wife? Does not break your fast. But dangerous. Playing with your fasting. If anything, and again, akramakumullah, pardon me, if any form of discharge as a result of deliberate arousal comes about, this breaks your fast. Okay? Okay? So any discharge, deliberately. Smoking, definitely breaks your fast. Vaping, all of it breaks your fast. Insulin injections, and this is one of the controversial areas, majority of scholars say no, insulin does not break your fast. But some, why? Because it's not nourishing your body. Any injection that doesn't nourish your body, like an anesthetic, a muscle relaxant, whatever it might be, if it's not nourishing your body, the scholars have said this does not break your fast. This is a very contemporary, controversial issue, but they said insulin injection in itself is not a nourishing thing, and therefore you allow to take your insulin injections while fasting. Also, the person who's on insulin has the option not to fast, in any case. In any case, okay? Does breastfeeding break your fast? No, it does not break your fast, but it gives you the option to break your fast. Eye drops, break your fast. Sorry, eardrops, do those break your fast? Alhamdulillah, I caught you. All right, the scholars can give this example. If I take Fakir again, it's always Fakir's fault, and we pour alcohol down his ear, are we going to lash him 80 times for drinking alcohol? Can he get drunk from alcohol being poured down your ear? No, he can't. So the scholars have said the general rule, whatever goes through the ears and the eyes, do not break the fast. The Prophet ﷺ used kuhl while fasting. And sometimes when you use, I've never used it, but as I understand, if you do, if you sneeze, some of it comes out. You can even taste it sometimes. Even though the taste is there, no problem. Ear drops and eye drops, in general, do not break the fast. Unless there's some nourishing property. Putting a earbud in your ear, break your fast? No. So the rule is, ear drops and eye drops are not deemed places of nourishment, and therefore they don't break your fast. Whereas nasal spray, and an asthma pump, the rule is anything that goes through your nose and your mouth would break your fast. Unless, and this is a very controversial, it is proven it goes straight to your lungs only. Something only goes to your lungs. It's dangerous. It's a very, very grey area. So avoiding, all of them is best to avoid, but especially the nose and the mouth. Especially the nose and the mouth. Yeah, so this is the question. You'd find this is split. It's basically, I'd say on nasal spray, you'd find 60-40. 60 saying avoid, 40 saying no problem. Very grave, very difficult to determine. And the rule is, we look at the wudu. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam allowed you to take water in your mouth and nose, but not pull it to the back of your throat in wudu. So on that ruling, anything which goes to the back of your throat is dangerous. Okay? Alright, so for all of them, eardrops, nasal spray, asthma pump, if you can avoid during the day, peace. But ear and eye drops should be okay. Inshallah, no problem to use them if you need to use them. Does not invalidate your fast. Nasal spray and asthma pump, my view, in the view of many scholars, it does break your fast, but you will find scholars who say differently. Controversial, you can do research further, but my view is anything to the back of the nose and throat will break your fast. That's fine. I don't think it goes to the back of your throat, right? Lipstick and lip eyes should not, unless you like licking it and swallowing it. Yes? Right? I think, right? If you've got some lipstick on and you like lick this off and then swallow it, then it will break your fast. But I don't think so. Otherwise, just having it on there shouldn't break your fast. On your lips. So what goes to the back of your throat? What gets swallowed? What gets sniffed? Yes? No problem. The brothers, what if you accidentally swallow phlegm? What about your saliva? You're constantly swallowing your saliva. It doesn't break your fast, but better to spit out that phlegm. The tissue or something not on the floor, please. Right? But yeah, that can be spat out. But if you swallow it, no problem. Okay? What about, I didn't put on here. What about bleeding? Does bleeding break your fast? Besides menstrual bleeding, obviously. Alright, yes, good. Menstrual bleeding obviously breaks the woman. So the sisters, obviously they do not fast the days they are menstruating. And if they are in postnatal bleeding, meaning they gave birth and they are bleeding after birth, there's no fasting. But any other bleeding, nosebleed, arm bleed, whatever, does not break your fast. However, donating a large part of blood, a quantity of blood, does break your fast. Cupping is not allowed while fasting. But if you do a little sugar test, it does not damage your fasting. But to donate blood, why? You're asking me, look confused, like, what's the rule? You want to understand the rule. So there's a hadith that says that the one who does cupping and who is cupped, the cupper and the cuppee, right? The one doing the cupping and the one receiving the cupping, both their fasting is not accepted. Okay? So from this rule, we see that any non-compulsory donation of blood or extraction of blood breaks your fast. But a small amount, like going for a blood test, it's not a problem. You've complicated life now. Definitely, if the person's job is to extract blood, like a doctor, not going to break your fast. And the scholars debated, why should I, as the one who does the cupping, why would it damage my fasting? One of the reasons is that they used to physically use the suction from their mouth to extract. It didn't go in their mouth, but they used to do the. They used to actually cause the suction from their mouth. But this is not a perfect answer. This is one of those hadith where we say, all right, don't do cupping while fasting. Okay? Okay? Don't do cupping while fasting. Don't do it, don't receive it. But if you're a doctor and you extract blood, you draw blood, no problem, inshallah. Moving on. Any other questions on what breaks your fast? No other questions. Applying cream on your skin, gets absorbed in your skin. No problem. Doesn't break your fast. You walk in and you inhale a whole lot of secondhand smoke. It doesn't break your fast, no problem. Yeah, I guess if you do it, you like actually smoking, but secondhand smoking deliberately, then yeah, that could put your fasting in danger. Very dangerous. Okay. The penalty for intercourse during the day of Ramadan is what? What's the penalty? You have to free a slave. Must free a slave. But since we none of us have slaves here, and your husband doesn't count, right? You have to free a slave. If you don't have a slave, you have to fast for 60 continuous consecutive days. And if you can't fast consecutively 60 days, and you have a genuine reason you're not able to do it, then you feed 60 people. That's a serious penalty for intercourse during Ramadan. Right, so the answer is, the penalty is to fast 2 months consecutively if you don't have, so it's only B. C is not, doesn't count. Why? Because C appears to give you an option. You don't have a choice. You can't fast or feed. A, to free a slave if you can't fast 2 consecutive. No, you must free the slave. Freeing a slave is number one. Right? So A doesn't count. So even though you free a slave, if you can't fast 2 consecutive months, do you understand? The answer is B. You fast 2 months consecutively if you don't have a slave. Interesting, just a side interesting, because you know, get the thick juices flowing. There was a king in Spain who used to sleep around in during fasting with his haram. You know, he had millions of beautiful women. And he slept with him, and he says, no problem, I have hundreds of slaves, I'll just free a slave all the time. So some scholar said, for you, we'll change the rules. You need to fast 60 days. If you can't, free a slave. Was it smart or not smart? So he went against the hadith to say, for this guy, we're going to apply a different penalty. Because he's circumventing the law. What do you think? Eh? So the Dr. Fakih is a smart idea, it's a deterrent for this guy. But you're only thinking of it from the perspective of the sinner. What about all the slaves he could free? The Sharia is also building in a rule to free slaves here. We're not encouraging people to break their fast and free slaves, but we have to look at the Sharia. It's very fine. Why Allah put this in this category? It shows you Allah wants you to choose freeing slaves first. In fact, you don't have a choice. If you have one slave, and you say, but I can fast the 60 days. No, you free that slave. That's why we don't have slaves. Alright. Which of the following is true? Yes? Well, many people can, and if you can't, then you can feed 60 people. But inshallah, we're not going to fall into this trap, right? No one's going to fall into it. What if you have intercourse accidentally? You didn't know you were fasting. Yeah. Some have even said, besides the Hanbali madhab, the other madhab says it's like eating accidentally. He didn't know. Let's make it more realistic. He didn't know today was Ramadan. He thought tomorrow was Ramadan, right? And then he had intercourse with his wife. So for him, yes, he has to make up the day qada, but he's not going to get the penalty of this because he didn't do it deliberately. This is deliberate, you know, deliberate. And also someone, and may Allah pardon us once again, if someone is forced to have intercourse during Ramadan, and it might happen, may Allah not, la samahallah, obviously the penalty doesn't apply. What happens if you eat deliberately in Ramadan? What's the penalty? How many days? Do you still free a slave? you fast 60 days, you feed 60 people, what is the penalty of eating? I eat after the buck. What's his penalty? Number one, you've lost such a reward that even if you fast every day of your life, you won't get that day back. You've broken a pillar of Islam, meaning if you die and you don't have that day paid in, then your iman comes into question. Your Islam is actually question mark because you don't have a pillar of Islam completed. But you only fast one day to make it up. Only one day to make it up. So if we were kids and we didn't know any better and we ate a few days during Ramadan, we were mukallaf, only one day. But tawbah, obviously. Sincere tawbah. May Allah forgive us what we did. Right, the rules of the traveler. Now, there are two types of people who have the option of not fasting. Which are the two types of people? The traveler and the sick person. So if you're a traveler or you are sick, you have the option to break your fast if you prefer. Let's talk about the traveler. When does one become a traveler? A traveler must be on a journey. And that journey, according to the majority of the scholars, must be 85 kilometers or more. If I go from A to B, if it's less than 85, I'm not a traveler. If it's more than 85 or more, I'm a traveler. Even if you're going by an aeroplane and it takes you 10 seconds to get there, no problem. This is the view of the scholars. This is the classical view of the scholars. There are different opinions in modern times, but let's stick to the classical opinion. 85 km or more of a journey, you're a traveler. We don't look at how difficult it is or how easy it is. 85 km or more, you're a traveler. When do you stop being a traveler? So I go from Cape Town to Johannesburg. Is that a journey? Am I a traveler? I go to Cape Town to Johannesburg to study for 6 years. So I say for the next 6 years, I'm going to fast. I'm not going to fast. I'm going to make my salah 2 raka'ahs. I'm not going to go for Jumu'ah. Yes or no? Why not? I'm a traveler. Eh? But I'm coming back to Cape Town after 6 years. So where does the limit, how long can I stay in a location before my status as a traveler falls away? How long? Alright, so there is differences between the madhaib in general. The Malikis, the Shafi'is, the Hanbalis have this rule. If you stay in a location 4 days or more, then you're no longer a traveler. From day one. Hanafis say 15 days. So please don't chop and change. Don't say when it comes to traveling, I'm a Hanafi. When it comes to prawn eating, I'm a Shafi. When it comes to kissing your wife, I'm a Hanafi. When it comes to whatever, then I'm a Hanbali. Alright? We don't chop and change like that. So 4 or more, then you're no longer a traveler. Do you stop being a traveler after 4 days or from day number one? You understand? So we said if Muhammad is going to Joburg for 3 days, for those 3 days, can he make his salah short? Can he break his fast? If he's staying there for 5 days, can he make salah short? Alright, at least he's Shafi, right? Muhammad is Shafi, right? Okay, he's Shafi, right? So he's staying 5 days. Okay, let's include the Shafi, Hanafi. He's staying 20 days there. Can he, within the 20 days, can he break his fast? No. He knows he's staying there for 20 days. So he can't break his fast. He can't make a short salah. From when? From day number one or from after 4 days? What do we say? What's the view? What madhab says after 4 days? Put up your hand. Which madhab says after 4 days? Which madhab says from day number one? Which madhab says I don't know? What does Sheikh Bughal have to say? So from day number one. So if you know you are going to stay in this area for 4 days or more, from the day you arrive there, you're no longer a traveler. Yes, so while you're during your journey, you're a traveler, you can shorten your salah, you can break your fast, but once you've arrived at your destination, you're no longer a traveler from day number one, from the first waqt you get there. Right, so he says, what if I do a long kind of journey? I travel from Cape Town to Johannesburg, I do a road trip. Have you stopped at each journey you do at 85K assessment? So I go from here to Johannesburg. I stay there for 2 days. Has my status as a traveler fallen away yet? And I go from Johannesburg to Dubai. Has my status as a traveler fallen away yet? Dubai, it's 85Ks. I see how long. But let's say I go from Cape Town to Johannesburg. And I travel within Johannesburg, from Johannesburg to Pretoria, to Lens, to whatever it might be, Roshni, whatever. All of that is within that 85K limit. I'm no longer traveling. Those journeys, those trips are not classified as journeys. Make sense? Yes.
Did you find yourself in the situation of being a traveler?
Yes.
But you find that it is not cumbersome for you that you
that's point. That's question number next. We'll get to that question, Amalek. Right? So we'll mark for that. We'll get to that question. Yeah? Yeah. So you stay.
I've started my journey, I've left my house.
Yeah.
I've started my journey, but I'm at the airport, so I haven't left
the confines of the city.
Yeah. But has my journey started from when I leave my house, or has my journey started?
The classical view of the majority of scholars is that yes, once you leave your location, meaning the Prophet ﷺ, so let's take it back to Nabi ﷺ. When he went on a journey, he only started to shorten his salah once he exited Medina. So some scholars would say once you actually take off as your journey began. Not while in the airport. Safer. Yes.
Medina was really small.
I know Medina was really small. I know going from Belleville to the airport or something is or whatever from it's a right. I'm saying the safer view is to wait until you start your flight begins, now your journey begins. The airport, you're still within your city. I know this is based on classical scholarly work. Modern scholars have said to be in line with it, they said it's safer to wait until you take off. Safer. Now that's what the brother is asking, when does your journey start? From the day I leave my house or from when I leave Cape Town? When do I start my journey? So it's not, remember that's another good question. Sister says, look, I'm going from here to Johannesburg. As the plane takes off, I flew outside Cape Town, it's only been 60 Ks. I passed Paul, for example. Am I still a traveler? Your journey has to be more than 85 Ks. So even if you haven't yet traveled the full 85 Ks, you're still a traveler. But your journey begins once you leave your city. You measure that distance from once you leave your city. Take that as it is. Yes. So they said, what if I'm going to miss the waqf? Firstly, as a Hanafi, you're not supposed to be joining anything, right? Hanafis don't permit joining of Salah, right? But if you say, look, I'm going to be flying on a plane, and if this flight is 12 hours and I'm going to miss Asr, can I bring Asr forward? Then yes, rather bring Asr forward than miss the Salah completely. But you have to stand. Salah, you have to stand. You must make qiyam. It's a pillar of Salah. So if you can stand, you stand in the plane. But if you can't stand and sit in your seat, no. Then you make Salah before you take off. You bring Asr forward. Okay? So you're doing the best, trying to avoid the gray as best you can. So the answer in this is, if you travel for more than 85 kilometers, you become a traveler? True. If a traveler stops for 4 days or more, he's no longer a traveler? True. So number, this one, A. 1 and 2 is your answer. Okay? This is your question. So if you're traveling, you are a traveler, you're allowed to break your fast. Must you break your fast or do you have the choice to break your fast? What if it's a very, very easy journey? You're first class. It's easy. Can he still break his fast? What if he's going to Dubai for shopping? Not for ibadah purposes. And still break his fast. What if he's going to Las Vegas to gamble? Okay. So the safe thing is, we don't look at the journey if it's permissible. If it's a sinful journey, you're saying, "Ya Allah, I'm going to go commit sin, also give me the allowance to break my fast." No, you don't get that exemption. Right? So a journey that is permissible, whether it doesn't have to be ibadah, it can be permissible. I'm going to shopping, I'm going to a holiday, you can break your fast. Whether it's easy, you can break your fast. What is better, to break your fast or to fast? What's more rewarding? What's more rewarding? More reward to break your fast or more rewarding to fast? There's a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ mentions this is an allowance from Allah, and it's like rejecting his allowance. He's given you a favor and you say, "I don't want it." It's like a mercy, it's an exemption. It's a gift, and you like saying, "I don't want your gift." So some of the scholars debated on this issue, and the answer to this is whatever is easiest for you. If it's easier for you to fast while traveling, then fast. But if it's easier for you to make qada, then make qada. You know, sometimes it's so easy to sit on the plane and I'm going to sleep the whole journey. I might as well fast. Then to wait until after Ramadan when everyone is having a party, then I need to fast. So choose whatever is easiest for you. The answer, therefore, if you are traveling, then you must break your fast. No, you have an option. You can break your fast only if the journey is hard. No, even if it's easy. You can break your fast but must pay a fidya. So fidya is what you pay if you miss a day of fasting and you're sick. If you're a traveler, do you pay fidya? No. So you have the choice to fast or break your fast, whichever is easiest. You just make the day up without paying fidya. The answer is D. Almost halfway there. Ah, we see this is the tricky one. Right. So Muhammad is traveling from Cape Town to Makkah on a Umrah during Ramadan. Which of the following is false? Muhammad can only break his fast once he's left Cape Town, true or false? Only once he's left Cape Town, we said that, your question about leaving it. So, it's true. He can only break his fast once he's left Cape Town, true. B, Muhammad is unsure. Okay, so Muhammad is traveling from, we said, Cape Town to Johannesburg, to Dubai, whatever it might be. He's a traveler. His journey is only 10 o'clock in the morning. Right? So, from Fajr and 10 o'clock, is he allowed to eat? Why? Why can't he eat from Fajr to 10 o'clock? He's not a traveler yet, right? He's not a traveler. Alright. So Muhammad says, "You know what, I can't eat from now, but I'm not sure. I might fast, I might not fast. The niyyah is not to fast." He gets on the plane, he falls asleep, he wakes up 5 minutes before Maghrib, he realizes, "You know what, I haven't eaten anything, I might as well just fast today." Permissible, impermissible? Impermissible. Why? Because his niyyah was not there. So this statement is true. This is unacceptable. His niyyah was not there to begin with, therefore it doesn't count. Before going to Makkah, he stops in Dubai for a week. While in Dubai, he has not completed his journey to Makkah, and therefore he can continue breaking his fast. Can he continue breaking his fast in Dubai? Yes. How long is he staying in Dubai? Ah, so he's staying in Dubai for 7 days. So is he a traveler or not a traveler anymore? When he arrives in Dubai, he's no longer a traveler. He needs to fast. Okay? So therefore, only D is correct. If you are in Makkah and you 1 day behind them, and tomorrow is Eid, you keep Eid with them even though you only fast for 28 days, and the next day you fast. Agreed? Right? So you fast with the people when you fast, and you break your fast with the people that you're in. You follow what the people are doing at that time. What if it's the opposite? I come from Makkah and I get to Cape Town. This will be Sunnah day. The extra day is a Sunnah day. You don't have to fast that day. From my understanding, you don't. You keep Eid the next day. You don't have Eid that day. You can't keep Eid. That's not Eid. Eid is the day when the people keep Eid. Right? You keep Eid with the majority, inshallah. But this is regards to this fasting. The Eid of Hajj is a more complicated issue. That's a different kind of Eid. Right? We won't get into that ikhtilaf. But in general, you keep Eid with the people, even if it means you short a day. Okay? Which of the following is true? A temporary sick person can break his fast or pay a fidya. No. So we said two people were allowed to break their fast, the traveler and the sick person. And there are two types of sick people. A person whose sickness can get better, and a person whose sickness cannot get better. A person whose sickness can get better, if they miss a day because of sickness, they just make it up when they're better. Agreed? So I have the flu, 2-3 days I'm out of action. After Ramadan, I make those 2-3 days up. No problem. No fidya, I just make the day up. No tawbah even, I just make the day up. The person who is permanently sick, we say, auntie, your blood pressure is high. When you start feeling better again, you need to start fasting. She says, I'll never feel better because I have diabetes, whatever, Allah grant us all shifa. But that person is permanently sick. They will never get a convenient time to fast. So what do? They pay fidya. They feed a poor person for every day. Fidya is how much? 10 rand. Sure, subhanAllah. You know what that says? What that says is a standard meal in Cape Town is 10 rand. Every time you pay more for your meal than 10 rand, you're eating more than what is average. If your meal is more than 10 rand, you're actually eating more than the average meal. SubhanAllah, all of us. I mean, it's some. Yes? Number 9's answer was D. Oh, sorry, which of the following is false? Yeah. C. C is wrong, yeah. So, off one. C. C. C is wrong. The other three are correct. Right. Right, so the temporary sick person, they make up the day they missed. The permanent sick person pays the fidya. Therefore, the temporary sick person, A, is not true. It's false. The permanently sick person pays a fidya for every day he or she missed. That's true. C, the breastfeeding lady does not need to make up missed fasting so long as she pays a fidya. And the pregnant woman, So the breastfeeding lady and the pregnant lady, does she pay a fidya or does she make up the day she missed? No second opinion here? SubhanAllah, so the lady, mashallah, you say so. So the lady, she's pregnant this year, breastfeeding next year. Pregnant the following year, breastfeeding the next year. So for 4 or 5 years, she's missing fasting. That's the reality. So she's got like 150 days of missed fasting. Does she have to make these days up or can she just pay a fidya? All the scholars agree that she has to make these days up. As difficult as they are, she owes these days. She can't pay a fidya. She can't get out of it, but so they're saying, you know what, I'll pay 150 times 10. 1,500 rand and get out of it? No. She has to pay those days in. And she also can't, it's only fair the husband should take half of it, but no, that's also not allowed. Alright? This is one of the difficulties for our sisters, but all four madahib say this. Modern scholars like Sheikh Yusuf al-Qadawi has actually said she can't pay a fidya, but they can understand this is an outside opinion. So the answer here is B. How long do you have to pay qada? Question. If you have any missed days of fasting, right? So last year, 2016, you missed 5 days. By when must you fast these days in? Before the next Ramadan. If you go beyond that limit, then you need to make tawbah and you pay a fidya and you pay the day in. Alright, so you pay 10 rand penalty, you make tawbah because you went beyond the limit and you obviously have to make those days in. Almost to the end, which of the following with regards to itikaf? So itikaf, what's itikaf? The answer for 10 is the permanently sick person pays a fidya for every day he missed. That's true, it's B. Right, what's itikaf? Stay in the mosque for during the time. And the Prophet ﷺ would make from the 21st of Ramadan until the end of Ramadan, he would spend his time in the masjid increasing in ibadah. Why? Why? Trying his best to ensure that the last 10 nights, which are the most powerful nights of Ramadan, to attain them in ibadah. So, the Prophet doesn't perform itikaf for the entire month of Ramadan? No, that's false. If you perform the entire month of Ramadan itikaf, you tell your wife, I'm going to spend, it's a lie, sister is lying to you. It's not true. Number B, women are allowed to perform itikaf in the masjid. True or false? Imagine the aunties coming to the masjid to make itikaf. Permissible, impermissible? Permissible. The wives of the Nabi ﷺ made itikaf in the masjid. The wives of the Prophet ﷺ They make itikaf in the masjid. So strange that some masjids don't allow the sisters in even to make tarawih. It's odd that if we should actually make allowances for them, but it is better for them naturally to make itikaf at home. If you talk to your wife during itikaf, your itikaf is invalid. True or false? False. The Prophet his house was next to the masjid. So he would put his head inside his house and tell Aisha, please comb my head, and then put his head back out during itikaf. He even took some of his wives, they came, and just late at night, so he got out of the masjid and he walked his wives home for safety purposes, so no problem. There is this hadith, this odd hadith that says, an old person who cannot fast should not also perform itikaf, but that's incorrect. If you are too old to fast, you can still make itikaf, it's permissible. So the answer here is A. A is incorrect. What is the sunnah of fasting? Having sukhur as early as possible? No, having it as late as possible. Breaking your fast with a sip of water if a date is not available? Yes, that's sunnah. Breaking your fast before Maghrib, sunnah. Unless you're the Mu'adhin, right? Unless you give the Adhan. You know, I wonder, when does the Mu'adhin break his fast? He breaks his fast before he gives Adhan. Right? Huh? That's why he first has a kusista and a samosa, a dalsi, a liter of water, faluda, and then he makes Adhan, right? No. At the minute you hear the Adhan, you break your fast. And it, obviously when you perform wudu and you're fasting, you do not sniff the water deep into your nose or into your throat. This is not... this is a good one. You're fasting for a reason. And you're doing all these ibadah for a reason. Remember, Allah said, the Prophet said, whoever fasts with iman and hope for reward. Don't be this wali and say, you know what, ya Allah, I'm only fasting for your pleasure, I don't want any reward. No, Allah wants you to want the reward. Allah wants you to say, ya Allah, I fasted, I want to get my khuru ayns and my whatever it might be in Jannah. Right, so giving someone something to break his fast with is equal to what? E, the same reward of the fasting person. So the full reward of him fasting goes to you without diminishing his reward. So make a point, inshallah, to give people dates to break their fast with. Right? Then you give the reward of that. Umrah in Ramadan is like Hajj with the Prophet ﷺ. The reward of Umrah in Ramadan is like performing a Hajj with the Prophet ﷺ. Laylatul Qadr, better than 1,000 months of continuous worship, or 83 years of worship. The 2 raka'ah sunnah of Fajr is better than the world and all that it contains. This is the sunnah raka'ah, not the compulsory. So number 4 is B. The reward of 1 extra month of Ramadan fasting is H, better than a shaheed. I want to tell you about this hadith. Maybe, I know you guys have been inundated with the virtues of Ramadan, WhatsApp messages, some of them true, most of them false even. But this one is true. And if you didn't forward this to 10,000 people, you're burning Jahannam forever and ever and ever. Right? So, the Prophet ﷺ, this is hadith of Talha. Talha was one of the 10 promised Jannah. He had a dream of 2 brothers who embraced Islam. So these 2 guys, brothers, they embraced Islam. One went off to fight jihad and he died. The other one lived a natural life and 1 year later he died. So Talha saw these 2 men in a dream going to Jannah. And the angel allowed the one who was not the shaheed, the guy who lived an extra year, he got to go into Jannah first. And then the shaheed into Jannah after that. So Talha woke up and was quite shocked. And he went to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, why are you so surprised, Talha? Talha said, why did the shaheed go in second? Shaheed should have gone in first, yes? Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, did you not see that his brother lived 1 extra year? And he got 1 extra Ramadan and made extra salah for a year. And therefore his reward is even more than the shaheed. So your reward in Ramadan fasting is more than the reward of a shaheed. SubhanAllah. And think about it. Ramadan fasting is a pillar of Islam. Jihad, not always, but jihad is not a pillar. We're not one of the 5 pillars, yes? And the 5 pillars are superior than every other act of ibadah. 1 day of Ramadan fasting better than any other days of Ramadan fasting. Right? So to put in perspective, you're doing something even greater than jihad, fasting, making your salah, paying your zakah, doing the hajj is greater than actually jihad. Okay? So number 5 is H. 1 day of sunnah fasting is deed. It distances you from the fire of Jahannam 70 years. Now, that is sunnah fasting. What is compulsory fasting? SubhanAllah. To pray with the imam till the end, meaning of Taraweeh, it's as if you pray the entire night in salah. So if you make every salah with every taraweeh with the imam until the end, whether it's 8 raka'ahs or 20 or half a juz, a full juz, or khatam, whatever it might be, it's like you made the entire night in salah. If you do that every single night for 30 nights, you're going to catch Laylatul Qadr. Then you can say, Ya Allah, I stood the entire night of Ramadan in salah every single night. That's good. The hadith, the Prophet says, whoever stands, he makes taraweeh salah with the imam. Yes. And it ends, and he stays until the end. Not specific to Taraweeh, but Sunnah. Whether it's Tahajjud, whether it's Taraweeh, it's Sunnah. Jama'ah, Sunnah Salah, in Ramadan. So it could be Tahajjud also. If he stays with the Imam until the end when he's done, then the rest of the night is written for him as complete Salah. Okay? Whether it's 20 or 8, a long Salah, short Salah, doesn't matter. Question? I've not heard any hadith like that. Perform the entire night. This is specific to Ramadan though. This is this thing about if performing the entire night is specific to Ramadan. The 6 days of Shawwal, if you fast Ramadan and then 6 days of Shawwal, it's like fasting the entire year. We all know this. Alright? Khair. Any 6 days. First six, last six. They don't have to be continuous. You can do 1 day and then 3 days and then 5 days. Whatever it might be. Okay? Last two questions. With regards to Laylatul Qadr. Let's talk a little bit about Laylatul Qadr. What is Laylatul Qadr? Technically, it's called the night of decree. Qadr is decree. What do we mean by the night of decree? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created and decreed, before He created us, He decreed our provisions, our life, our death. What's going to happen to us? Before He even created us, Allah decreed these things. But Allah allows us to make dua and even change the decrees. Can you change the day you're supposed to die? Can you increase your rizq? Hadith Bukhari Muslim. Whoever wants his provisions and his life to be extended, they will keep family ties. So there, you have the ability to even increase, go beyond the date that was decreed that you die. This Allah is willing to change it. Nabi Sallallahu says, whoever makes dua, dua can actually change the decrees that are put out for you. So you have the ability to increase your rizq, increase your life, increase, maybe in the Lawh al-Mahfuz, it was written, you're going to Jahannam. You can change that with dua. Now what happens, every single year, the angels don't know what the decrees for the year are. They're still not confirmed, as we could say, the budget for the year. Meaning the angel of death, Malik al-Maut, is going to get a list of people whose souls he's going to pull. The angel of rizq is going to get a list. This is the rizq for the year going to XYZ. Your names, my names, our family's names are going to be on those budgets. And if you make dua sincerely and it's accepted, those budgets will change in your favor. So you have the ability to change your decrees before this night occurs. And that night is coming up. Either from the 1st of Ramadan or the 30th, that night is going to come up. Whatever you want, whatever you desire, if you make dua and it's accepted, that budget is going to change for you. Okay? So on that night, the night of decree, that's what it's called, the night of decree. Now look at this night. This one night, if you make salah on it, it forgives all your sins. And if you make dua and it's accepted, all your future is set up as well. One night that gives you all this blessing. It's an amazing night. And it's coming in the next 30 days or so. SubhanAllah, you know, people who are still to pass away, their names were on last year's Malik al-Maut budget. uncle of mine passed away yesterday, rahimahullah, was granted my place in Jannah, but he was in the decree of last day, you wouldn't get to Ramadan. We don't know if we're going to get there. We still got a few days left. Malikul Maut's list is not done yet. And we could be, this could be our last Ramadan. Or last year could have been our last. But the point is, it's not completely out of your hands. You and I can make dua for our decrees to be put out in our benefit. Okay? Any questions on that? About the free will and destiny here. Any questions on that? Yes? Nothing happens in the dua. The 15th of Sha'ban, it has some other blessings through the week hadith, but nothing with regards to decrees happen on the ruwa. Nothing with regards to the decrees of Allah happens on the ruwa by unanimous consent of the scholars. You open up Surah Dukhan, chapter Dukhan, read the tafsir in there. So Allah says, on a special night, the night where Allah makes known all the decrees, that is the night when the Quran was revealed. And when was the Quran revealed? Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr, in Ramadan. So our understanding of Ruwa and the 15th of Shaban is incorrect. None of the scholars, none of the four madahib, none of the tafsir scholars have said the night of decree is the 15th of Shaban. That night is in Ramadan. Yes? Why it's so common and well known and prevalent? No, that's it. So the question is there anything special of the 15th of Sha'ban? There are other 30 weak hadith which speak about the night being special, not being the night. So it can be special without being Laylatul Qadr, you understand? And many scholars have said that's enough circumstantial evidence to suggest do more good. But the night of destiny and Qadr and decree and power that is coming in Ramadan, not the 15th of Sha'ban. Is it the 15th of Sha'ban? False. Is it always the 27th of Ramadan? No. It could be any night in Ramadan. It is usually during the odd nights of Ramadan, but not also always. It is only in the last 10 nights? No. It could even be before the last 10 nights. Very unlikely, but possible. If you look at the Battle of Badr, you look at the conquest of Makkah, these events occur on the 17th of Ramadan. The Quran was revealed on the night of Laylatul Qadr? Yes. What happens on that night, the angels get their decrees and they descend down. So they go up, they have a meeting at some place with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't see Allah, they don't hear Allah, but they get their budgets. And then they descend down to the lowest dunya, Jibreel included. Salamun ya hatta matla'il fajr, and peace prevails throughout the samawat. The souls of the dead are set free on the night of Laylatul Qadr. False. This is again misconception. The decrees of the year are put out. Yes, that's true. And lastly, all your sins can be forgiven if you make salah on that night. Yes, that's true. Last question. Which of the following is true or false with regards to Eid? Zakatul Fitr. So what is Zakatul Fitr? Zakatul Fitr is the tax that every single person needs to pay, whether they fast or don't fast, whether they're mukallaf or not mukallaf. It even mentions if you've got a child in your womb, you pay Zakatul Fitr on behalf of that child. Why? So that people are not hungry on the day of Eid. No one should be hungry on the day of Eid. So everyone is required to pay 40 rand is Fitr. 40 rand this month, this year, 40 rand. You need to pay Fitr for the Eid al-Fitr. When is it too late to pay Zakatul Fitr? Before the Eid Salah begins. That's Eid al-Fitr, obviously, not Eid al-Adha. If you wrote true, you get it wrong. Right? It's Eid al-Fitr. So before Eid al-Fitr Salah begins, don't come to the Imam after Salah and say, here's my Zakatul Fitr. Won't be accepted. It's Sadaqah charity, but you committed a sin for not paying Zakatul Fitr. And Zakatul Fitr, also what it does is, you know, we say things, look at things, do things that make our Ramadan imperfect. That Zakatul Fitr wipes away the imperfections of our fasting. And if you miss it, your fasting remains imperfect like that. Yeah, then we said niyyah is in the heart. If I ask if you go to the imam, you're going to put it in the chairman's hand, he's going to say, what is this for? Is this for the toilet paper? Is this for the imam slavat? Is this for me a slavat? You say, no, it's fitrah. Okay, no, it's fitrah. In reality, fitr should be food. You should actually give kind, not money. You're not allowed to distribute money to the poor. You must give them food. But today we've made it easier that one central agency collects it and they purchase the food and they give it. But it's better to actually feed someone. That's actually the best thing. Rice. Rice is the staple food. Yes, you can. You can pay fitra on behalf of someone else. Women are not allowed to come to the Eid Musalla. That's false. Obviously, it's sunnah for the women to come to the Eid Musalla. What about fidya? So remember the sister or the uncle who can't fast, he pays 10 rand every day. So at the end of Ramadan, he needs to pay 300 rand fidya. Does he pay this before the imam makes salah also? No. You can pay fidya beyond that. Fidya you can pay before, after, doesn't matter. Obviously, the sooner the better. Ah, takbir. You know the takbir? Allahu Akbar. We start making takbir when the mantakers tell us it's Eid. Right? Once we see the moon of Shawwal, it's Eid. We start making takbir from Maghrib. When do we stop making takbir? Up until Eid Salah. Not 3 days, that's for Eid al-Adha. Up until Eid Salah. So this thing is false. It is sunnah to eat 3 dates. Yes, it's sunnah to eat 3 dates in the day of Eid. And it's compulsory to eat the ecosystem. Yes, in Cape Town it is. Right? False, obviously. So did anybody get full marks? No one. Subhanallah. This is a basic, easy quiz. Who got full marks? Nobody got full marks. Okay, so what we're going to do is, if you'll be so kind, Hussein, Kulik, put your names on there. I have 6 prizes. I want to give all 6 away. Put Kulik all the pamphlets. If you haven't, if you have to do one, collect all of them, and we do a bit of a raffle is a bad word, a draw, a lucky draw, and then we'll give 6 prizes away, inshallah. You want to keep it? If you put your name and your email address, we will send you the digital copy with the audio as well. So you will get it back. We will give you the correct answer as well, inshallah. Okay.